This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, hate crimes in the heartland. And Focus on Technology tells us how infrared can provide a permanent patch for potholes. First up...
I'm Ann.
John.
You're getting married?
Yeah.
Promise me you'll make her happy. That you'll keep her safe no matter what.
Yes, sir.
You don't like surprises,
huh? God, I love you.
I guess I like knowing what's around the bend.
You sure about this?
I love Anne. I'd die for her.
Anne?
Hello, John. I have your wife. If you want to see her again, do exactly as I say.
The feature film Dusk is making its world premiere this Wednesday at the Cleveland International Film Festival. The psychological thriller tells the story of a man who wakes up to find himself in the midst of a real-life nightmare. The film was shot entirely here in Cincinnati and in Owens, in Kentucky. And joining us to talk about the movie and what went into its production are Dusk creators and producers Ryan Lewis and Michael Maney. They're also the founders of Dog Day Films, an independent film company here in Cincinnati. If you'd like to join the conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Michael and Ryan, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
Michael, how did you get started in filmmaking?
Well, I started making short films probably when I was in the fourth or fifth grade. My parents had a big old VHS camera for home movies,
VHS,
and I started.
What's that?
And I would get I'd get together with my friends, or sometimes just shoot action figures and make these little crazy shorts, short films over the summer, and it just kind of carried through junior high into high school and through college, and then I met Ryan in college, and we started making short films together then.
So one of those short films got somebody's attention, apparently.
It did, yeah. So back in, I think, 2010, was it? Yeah, 2010, we made a short film called Meth, 24-minute psychological thriller that did pretty well in the festival circuit. And it kind of opened the doors for us to basically make Dusk. It got the attention of some investors and also some other production guys that said, hey, who are these guys? What are they doing? And what's next?
Well, Ryan, what's the story of how you got involved in filmmaking?
It's very similar, but I was a little late to the party. And somewhere in junior high, I just decided I wanted to write a film. And I just out of nowhere, I guess, just I love movies and I want to try my hand at it. So I grabbed every book from the bookstore that I could find. And then when I got done writing it, I decided I wanted to shoot it. And again, I really had no idea what I was doing. I just grabbed every book and convinced my parents to get me a camera for eighth grade graduation a year and a half early. So then I just ran around and did the same thing, shooting, you know, having all my friends act like middle-aged gangsters when they're 16, 17 years old. It was a blast. I don't know how we finished it, but, and no one's allowed to see it from now on.
It's the first.
Because it's the very first movie I did. But
You look back and you go, oh, did I really do that?
Yeah, exactly.
It was great.
Now, what are some of the other types of films that you've produced locally with your film company?
Well, Ryan and I have been doing, we did the 48-hour film project for 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. 2004, I think, was the first.
Yeah. And so if anybody who's not familiar with that, you basically get 2 days to write, shoot, edit a short film, and then it goes into a competition. And we had a lot of luck with that. We won locally 2 years in a row. And then we did another similar competition with Panasonic. So those are some of the projects that we've done in the past together.
And Michael, after watching the preview of Dusk, I can tell you, I was really, really impressed with this.
Thank you. A
suspenseful, gripping movie. It was one of those things where I started to watch it and then I couldn't turn it off once I started. Now, I don't want to give away too much about the movie and spoil the plot, but can you give us a basic overview of Dusk?
Yeah. Well, the film, it's a psychological thriller. It's about a young man named John Whitmore that wakes one morning to find his wife, Anne, has mysteriously disappeared during the night. And sort of left in her place is this ransom recorded message. It's on an old cassette player, basically instructing John to get his savings together and head out towards a cabin where he will presumably be reunited with his wife and meet this mysterious kidnapper. Well, as the night goes on, some other characters join in the story, and a lot of secrets are revealed, twists and turns come up, and by the end of the journey, John's world has been pretty much turned upside down.
Ryan, tell me about how the idea for Dusk came about.
That's all Mike.
He went off
by himself and kept telling me he was writing the script, and he wouldn't show me or pitch it to me until he was ready to show it. And I vividly remember the day that I finally got the script, and I read through it immediately that afternoon, called him, told him I loved it, read it again that night, and we went from there.
Is that a common, a common script writing technique, Mike, that you keep this hidden from your partner until the last minute?
No. So after we did the short film we considered doing a feature version of the short Meth. And we went round and round, and we kind of been living in that world for too long. And the idea at the time seemed to just kind of got a little stale. So a little frustrated, I kind of backed away from that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to dive into this thing sort of, just as a total, to leave that world, so to speak. And so that's not normally the way that we do things, but for this particular one, I wanted to give it a shot at it just all the way through first and then send it to Ryan and start reworking it from there, you know.
Was Dusk its original title at the start?
I believe so.
It was the original title, but we didn't think we liked it at first. So we kept trying to retitle it something else, but every title we came up with was a derivative of Dusk. And nothing seemed to sum it up as well, so we just eventually went back to Dusk.
Well, tell me some more about your first reaction when he pitched this to you.
I just remember being very excited and knowing that this was finally the time to make it into a feature. And, we've at this point lived with this for 2.5 or 3 years to today. I knew it was something that we'd be willing to spend the time on and have to live with for that long and not get tired of.
Michael, what type of prep did you do before you got started shooting? I mean, how did you get in touch with the actors and the other production people?
Well, we had to, sit down. You have to look at the script, what all's involved. Can we shoot it? Can we do it for, the budget that we have? We had to answer all these questions. But we did a ton of prep because honestly, there wasn't a whole lot of room for error with this one. If we missed a day, if we went over schedule, it wasn't going to happen. So we did a lot of prep, storyboarded every single shot down to a T. For the actors, we did do Actors Access, which is a online, it's a website you basically can post auditions to, and you just get tons of actors responding to them. Additionally, we hired some local folks that we knew from past projects, and then the two leads actually came from the actor that plays David. His name is Ford Dupree. He also helped produce it. He knew the two leads. He recommended them, and they were perfect.
Well, tell me some more about the people who acted in this film.
Well, John McLaughlin, he came from L.A., and I think he's originally from Michigan, but then spent some time down in Miami.
Yes, so he came over the place.
Yeah, he came from L.A. Juliana Harkavy, she is from Miami, and she's actually done some pretty impressive stuff. She was in Dolphin Tale 1 and 2 and then had a role on The Walking Dead. Todd Litzinger came from New York, and then Ford Dupree came from North Carolina, and then we had a lot of local actors as well that were very talented and came out and gave us their time, so...
So tell me about how long it took you to write this, produce this, shoot this, edit this whole thing.
As far as shooting goes, it took 19 days.
Really? That fast?
We didn't have time for anything more than that. or we didn't have the funding for any more than that because every day costs a certain amount of money. And so we basically shot Monday through Friday, 2 straight weeks, took a week off just so we could recoup since it was our first time. We wanted to make sure we got everything we needed. Then we shot 4 days the following week and then 5 for the last week.
So 19 days, were you working like straight through the day or?
They were 12-hour days.
Wow.
Sometimes a little shorter, but we only went over the 12-hour limit once, and that was the very, very last day.
Well, how did the budget work out for this film?
Well, we're kind of keeping that under wraps because it's still, we're now just getting it out there. But in terms of the investors and who got involved, they were guys that saw Meth and believed in it and believed in our talent, and they got behind it that way. So we had, I think, about 6 investors total, and all of them had different shares. I'm sorry, you can go.
Oh, no. When we were under the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, ultra low budget agreement. So that's all we can really say about
ultra low budget.
Yeah. Basically,
it doesn't look ultra low budget though. That's
exactly
amazing.
Exactly why we can't say how much it costs, because we want you to know or want you to guess how much it costs.
I guess technology is so good these days, though, that is a cost-effective way to produce a movie, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, technology has really opened up the doors for filmmakers. It's a great time to be a filmmaker because of how technology has opened up those doors, you know.
Now, on the financing end, did you get any incentives from the Cincinnati Film Commission?
I believe we were too low in the budget range to actually get those.
That ultra low budget,
yes.
Got you.
Yes.
Okay, so
we got deals from all kinds of people around town, but you know, hooking us up with food and locations and.
You got incentives in other ways.
Yes, exactly. Benefit of filming in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
Michael, did most of the production people come from here? And are these folks that you've worked with before?
Yeah, well, some I was new to working with, but I think all of them pretty much were all local, all the production folks.
They were at the time. A few have moved to LA at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Heath has moved there.
Heath and Abitz have both moved.
Okay. So yeah, a lot of local guys, a lot of talent here in the city, as far as filmmaking goes. So we took full advantage of that.
Well, and speaking of talent, the soundtrack is very impressive.
Absolutely.
Who was responsible for that?
That was Jonathan Brennan. So
oh,
he's
local.
A local composer. Absolutely. Yeah, he's great.
Now, did you commission the songs that were heard in the film or did you just like the music and just say, let's just go with this?
What do you mean?
Well, in other words, did you commission the songs you heard in the film, or did you like the music and you contact the artist to perform it? I know John composed it, right? As far as who performed it, how did you go about picking the people who did that? Was that all John?
That was all John. Yeah,
that was all John. Really?
We did have some background music, like in some of the, like there's a bar scene and a party scene, and that's stock music that we were able to purchase up and use in the film. But the original score was all Brennan. Yeah.
And the proposal scene was he's a musician from Nashville. And we would bounce around the ideas of using all kinds of different songs. And then we stumbled upon the song called Nothing Lost and we just loved it and reached out to him and worked out a deal to get it in the film.
It is very impressive. Now, tell me about the places where you shot the film. You shot in obviously Cincinnati, Owenton, Kentucky, but what specific neighborhoods in Cincinnati were you using?
A lot of it was in Madeira, and that was actually my house. That's my fiance and I bought the house and when we bought the house, we were also kind of looking at it going like, you know, this could be a good place because we were looking at the house right while we were doing pre-production. We're like, this could work for these different scenes. Hey, let's get it. So, and then we also did a couple bars and cafes locally. And then, yeah, down in Owenton, Kentucky, that's where the cabin, there's a cabin down there that we shot at, and also out at East Fork State Park. They were very generous in letting us shoot there all night out in these backwoods. So that was quite an experience.
But that's your house. That's amazing. Did you have any worries about showing the inside of your house and having the whole world know what your house looked like?
No. I mean, since then we've done a lot of redesigning, so it doesn't look a lot like that. But so we actually painted all the walls for the film.
Right,
so
when we moved in.
Right, when we moved in, yeah. So we had a lot of... a lot of freedom to do whatever we want because we were living there. So it worked out.
And helped you stay under budget, too.
Yep, there we go.
We'll continue our conversation about Dusk, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking with Ryan Lewis and Michael Maney about the psychological thriller Dusk that was shot in Cincinnati and Owenton, Kentucky. And it's going to be making its world premiere this week at the Cleveland Film Festival. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Did you ever hit a point where something was just not going right and you really felt challenged to keep the whole thing moving forward?
You want to take that one? Well, I mean, the process of making a feature film just as a whole is very, very challenging. It's a lot of fun. It's a great experience. But yeah, there were quite a few times where it was just – it kind of beats you down a little bit sometimes. We shot late winter, early spring, so some of the weather was, you know, not so fun to shoot in. We were out in the middle of the woods, middle of the night. It was 10 degrees and we're shooting, and it just was that wasn't a whole lot of fun. But I don't really recall a moment where it just was like, this is not going to work. There were moments here and there where we just had to sort of, you know, push through small challenges here and there, but we made do.
Yeah, I remember the third day. The first 2 days, you know, it's a party and everyone's getting together like, yeah, we're making a movie. And then the third day, you're like, we have another 3 weeks of this. And it's, you know, it's a stressful situation knowing you have to get everything done that day. So it can't bleed into the following day because you're generally moving to a different location and you don't have the same location a second time. But once you get over that hump and realize everybody's in the same boat and everybody's pulling for the same film, that it worked out great.
Yeah. Well, what makes Cincinnati such a good area to shoot in?
I think the resources, both you know, production people as well as everybody else who wants to get involved. You know, when you're a filmmaker in Cincinnati, it's a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit rare. So when you approach people to help out with a film, they're usually all for it and they're very supportive. And we could not have made Dusk without the support of all the people in the area. So try to do something like this, maybe out in LA. I don't know. We might not have had as much luck with that. But yeah, the resources, the people, the community, everybody just gets behind you and says, let's do this. How can I help? And it's a great thing.
Did you act as your own business managers as well? Because it's got to be tough to balance the business side and the creative side when you do a movie.
It's tough. Yeah, you're under that schedule and time is money. And you're sometimes wanting another 3 or 4 takes, but you know what? You just can't get them because you have to move on or else you go over budget. That wasn't really an option for us. So balancing the business with creative, it's challenging.
And I definitely remember crew members asking me questions, and they
told
me,
"Where's my paycheck?"
No, that we had a payroll service, so that was taken care of. But they would ask me questions like, you know, if they wanted this shot or this shot, and they could tell if they were talking to the producer Ryan or the director of photography Ryan, depending on the answer. If I told him no, it was generally the producer who was keeping track of the schedule. And if I said yes, it was the camera guy.
Yeah. Ryan, when you told your friends you were doing something this ambitious, how did they react to it?
They all wanted to be a part of it. But because we were just shooting Monday through Fridays, it was kind of hard for people with regular jobs to be able to help out. But they were, you know, they were up for whatever help they could offer.
Now, what are your hopes for this film at the Cleveland Film Festival?
Well, we want to get it out there. We want to, we want people to see it. And we just, we're interested to hear what people think about it, you know, get feedback from it and just kind of get it out into the world. Ultimately, our goal is to find an appropriate distributor for it, a good home for it, you know, to help get it out into the world.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation and, Cleveland Film Festival, how does that work exactly? Is that like that's spread out over a number of days and people are just watching various different films, or?
I forget the exact run of it, but I think it's 10 days, around 10 days of the entire festival. So it's been running for a few days already, and it runs through next weekend, I believe it is. So there's just films all day long at a number of different theaters every day of the week. So
when does your film, it makes its premiere on Wednesday, right?
Wednesday at 9:45 p.m. and then again the following day at 5:10 p.m.
Okay. And after the film festival, what do you hope happens? Talking about distribution, that kind of thing, but
yeah. Well, we're pushing to get into as many other film festivals as we can beyond this. But simultaneously, yeah, we hope to approach some distributors, see what they think, see if it's a good fit for Dusk.
Now, when it comes to filmmaking these days, does it matter as much whether it goes into the theaters or whether it becomes a DVD? How do filmmakers view it? Is it important to hit the theaters first?
It's changing so much.
It has.
So quickly.
It's almost like a DVD seems almost more desirable in some cases nowadays.
Some of the deals, the way that Netflix is starting to approach things, I mean, it's changing so rapidly.
Theaters would be amazing, but it's not as – it used to be
you had to be
theaters or you were dead. But now you can go to video on demand or DVD directly, and it works out just as well with Netflix and other distributors.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Andy and Anderson. Good afternoon, Andy. You're on Cincinnati Edition. Andy, you're there? Okay. I think we've lost contact with Andy there, and I think he was going to talk about he worked on an earlier. Andy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm having cell phone problems.
Okay.
But I didn't have much to say. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, we sure are. Go ahead.
I jumped in my car on my lovely trip to the dentist, and I heard you talking about a local film and heard the name Michael Maney, and I just wanted to say that I'm a fan of his, that is to say.
You have a fan.
Eons ago, he'll tell us about it, he made a student film. I think it was a student film called, I believe, 180.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was, you know, almost a maybe pre-Tarantino style film, full of class and action and good editing and real young, not always believable actors. Such a talented vision. I just was so impressed, and I keep looking for it online to see if I can relive it, even though I know it, you know, was a primitive effort. It was so impressive, and I just wanted to say that.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Andy, for the call, too.
To get it online. That was
so enlighten us. What's he talking about here?
180 was one of I made that when I was a sophomore in high school. Again, with a this was a Hi8 video camera, and a bunch of my friends got together, and it was just this complete action-packed short film that I put on public access, and that actually got me my first paying gig as doing promotional material and stuff like that. And we put it on public access, and we got flooded with calls. Half of the people were loving it. The other half were completely offended because of the violence in it. And, you know, it was just a bunch of kids running around with fake guns and this big shootout, these shootout sequences. So it was a lot of fun.
He mentioned Tarantino. Are there certain producers and directors that you model yourselves after or that you admire and want to be like?
David Fincher is definitely a big influence. Michael Mann, his style. I was very inspired by Robert Rodriguez's story in terms of how he made El Mariachi. This was way back when he supposedly made it for made this film called El Mariachi for about $7,000 and won Sundance. So that was kind of a big influence on me back in the day. So,
what about you, Ryan?
When I started out, it was Tarantino and Kevin Smith and Robert Rodriguez as well. You know, all the you know, mid-90s guys that were kind of showing everybody that they could make a film and it didn't have to have a gigantic budget to do so.
Now, you also do corporate videos, is that right? Corporate films as
mostly
well?
Mostly advertising. That's kind of how I make ends meet. And
so you pay the bills, so you pay the fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who have some of your clients been in the past?
Simon Schuster Publishing up in New York. I do book trailers for them, for their authors. So author has a new book. They come to me. I make like a 15 or 30 second spot, and it airs in spot markets. I do some P&G work locally. I do also some theme park work for Schlitterbahn Water Parks down in Texas, and so on, yeah.
Well, do the two of you have any plans in the works for shooting other feature films in Cincinnati?
We're working on it. We're starting to ping pong some ideas back and forth. Dust kind of took it out of us a little bit for right now, but I think we're kind of...
just need a little vacation for a week or two, and then we can get back to it.
Right.
Well, good luck to you. I hope it all goes well for you, Ryan and Michael.
Thank you so much
for joining us this afternoon. Dusk creators and producers Ryan Lewis and Michael Maney. They're also the founders of Dog Day Films, which is an independent film company in Cincinnati. And again, Dusk is making its world premiere at the Cleveland International Film Festival. That's going to be on Wednesday. Coming up, we'll explore the documentary Hate Crimes in the Heartland, and later in Focus on Technology, using infrared to patch up potholes for good. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.